Real Ghost Stories Online.
Have you ever gotten the feeling of, I guess, dread when you really shouldn't be getting a feeling of dread, like the environment, the cues, everything really audibly and visibly around you, even smell, nothing should be giving you that. It could be just like the most random, peaceful place, and all of a sudden, boom. There may be an urge to run or get out of there. Do you react with it? Especially if it's not common for you. You just brush it off thinking, maybe I had too much caffeine or something. Sometimes going with it. In fact, I must always go with that if I ever have it, which is fairly rare. It's the going with your gut thing. But going with it, I think, can be very important, as the person in our next story finds out in multiple ways. Take a listen. When I was 7, my family moved to a house in the southwestern part of Missouri. It was a very old farmhouse. The wooded area behind the house was very eerie and overgrown. Being a child from the city, it naturally scared me. It was midsummer when I suddenly was okay with the wooded area. Began to play in the trees. Found a stream. We are talking small, sleepy town. That was angry. State made us put a spotlight on the highway crossing, so the wooded area was huge. Decided to go for a swim. When I jumped in, I didn't realize how deep it was. I nearly drowned. I saw a Native American literally appear in the water just as I was starting to have shimmery vision. A man chastised me for not knowing how to swim, being alone in the land away from my family at so young. I should learn before I jump into an unknown river again. I thought this strange for several reasons, the main being that I was drowning and I knew no one was there, and this strange man with handmade pants and moccasins lifted me out of the water. Secondly, it was a stream, not a river. Even I knew that. I went home right away. My mom got mad at me for being wet, and I told her the man in the woods saved me from drowning. She told me it was impossible. Native Americans didn't dress like that anymore, and there were none living in the woods behind us. I asked her if maybe it could have been an angel that saved me, and she abruptly shouted, "Ghosts are not real, angels do not look like humans, and stop making up stories." Naturally, I never spoke of that day again, but I couldn't help but feel very safe. Listened to him and convinced my mom to let me take swimming lessons. After that event, I also started having really weird dreams whenever I had a problem facing me or decision ahead of me. I also started to crave being outside alone in nature. Never was a big nature fan before this. I was a city girl, after all. Started having sleep paralysis, where you wake up mentally, and you're able to see, but you can't move because your body is still asleep. People report hallucinating, feeling very frightened. I never really hallucinated that I thought of as, but when this would happen, I often would see the same man that saved my life that day I was drowning. He'd sometimes just be watching me. He'd be looking out the window or some other seemingly normal thing. When I was 14, it was the dead of winter. Seeing him had become a new normal, but not being able to talk to him ever was starting to get frustrating. Although when I was scared or in a bad situation or worried, I would talk to him like he was there, and often felt calmness or peace come over me and helping me, almost like he was always there listening to me. One night, late in December, I was awoken abruptly. I thought it was another experience of sleep paralysis, but I was literally feeling like someone was shaking me. When I opened my eyes, I was alone in the room. Then I heard his voice in my ear. It was so loud it shocked me, as he had not spoken to me since the day he saved me in the stream, and often acted as though he couldn't see me when I saw him. He told me, "Get up right now, get your family up, and get out of this house. Do not tell them No, anyone who stays will not see the sunrise. Get everyone out. I felt truly in a panic and fear. Jumped up, ran to my mom and dad's room, started yelling that we had to get out of the house right now. My sisters heard me shouting, and my parents woke up coming into the room. My middle sister was feeling really dizzy, like she was going to be sick, and while mom was fully awake already, my dad was really drowsy and didn't want to wake up. This is very unusual, as he's always been the first to get up for anything, which got my mom moving. She got my dad up. We all left to take my sister out for fresh air. We went to the farm down the road, and the farmer was getting up to go milk the cows, and we pulled up. He let us in from the cold since we were all still in our pajamas. He was also the town farm vet. That's why he was up at 3 a.m. And after looking at my sister and my dad, said they looked almost like they had mild carbon monoxide poisoning. We should really go to the hospital. After going there, we found out that all of us had effects from it, but me. The fire marshal, to check it out, found our propane stove that heated the living room. Thus, the house was not venting outside, but rather inside. My room was the farthest from the living room, so I had almost no exposure by the time I woke up. My family, however, were not so lucky. My dad and sister were in the hospital for 2 days. My mom, my oldest sister, and I went home to get the heating stove replaced and tried to act like me waking up like that was normal. Given my mom's hate for anything she can't prove with a science book, I would only tell her that I had a bad feeling every time she asked how I knew to wake them up. My mom finally broke down and told me that night that she didn't believe in ghosts because it was a decision she made as a little girl. She grew up in an old farmhouse in Illinois, and the feeling of that home was very, very oppressive. The kids' bedrooms were in the partially finished attic. Her bed sat in an alcove, and the rooms were separated by shower curtains hung from the rafters. This house that they were in, they'd find things randomly being moved. Pictures literally flinging off from the wall, not sliding or falling, but literally flying several inches from the wall and shattering frames. They'd hear people running around the house and would hear laughter and talking in German. Her family's not German, yet due to hearing all of the voices, my mom and I would later learn all the siblings speak conversational German. Her father actually went crazy and became diagnosed as schizophrenic, and his last words were, "Hail Hitler," before he went batty, as my mom would put it. He was a hardworking, God-fearing Republican farmer with no family or personal history of mental illness. My mom's grandfather lived in an apartment above the barn and blatantly refused to even go into the main house. My mom's siblings all have some form of mental illness, schizophrenia, depression, attempted suicides, you name it, yet there is no history on either side of the family. My grandmother did not seem affected, but after she died, we met the priest that she'd go to almost weekly for blessings. At one point, he attempted a failed exorcism of the house, and that's why they moved so abruptly in my mom's later teen years. After she told me this, I finally told her it was the same guy that saved me from drowning that woke me up and told me to get everyone out of the house. And mom asked if I had seen him between then and now, and I told her about the sleep paralysis. She told me not to ever trust what can't be explained, but to understand that if I ever see a little girl run into the opposite direction, as she was what shared her childhood home and ruined her family. But ghosts aren't real. Demons want to kill you are, though. Flash forward to 2011. I'm 21 and living now with my middle sister, who just got out of the army after a very rough deployment. We started having issues in the apartment. Our dog refused to go into my sister's bedroom. The lights would randomly turn on and off. The sink would start running while we were in the living room, watching TV. My sister kind of suffered with sleeping issues, so we started sleeping in the living room, and I just started working on an overnight job. That apartment made us mean to each other, and we didn't feel happy ever there. One day, we were watching Family Guy, I believe it was the week before Thanksgiving, and my sister asked why there was someone in her room. She went into her room, and I heard her messing with her closet doors. She came back into the living room and said, "A damned old man needs to fucking go already. This is our apartment and he needs to just leave us alone." She told me that she sees every now and then an elderly man moving around her closet or going down the hall. I was thinking the giggles from the little girl in our living room and kitchen were the only issues we were having. On Thanksgiving, our parents came to eat dinner with us. My mom told me how their lives seemed to get luckier after I moved out. I thought it odd, but not weird. December 1st of 2011, my sister attempted suicide. She said she felt like she was suffocating, that her depression would never let up, and that she didn't want to live in a world with no happiness anymore. We switched rooms after that, and not a week later, I was placed into a psychiatric ward for 72-hour hold after having an abrupt mental breakdown at work. I shrugged my sister's depression off as a delayed PTSD reaction, a mental breakdown to the large amount of stress I was under. But my coworker, who was Wiccan, asked to come to the apartment and see if she can help me with a cleansing ritual. I reluctantly agreed after my sister said yes. I was worried that it would make my friend, whom I still only see on very rare occasions and never speak to really, would be removed too. When my coworker got there, she knew nothing of where the problem spots were, or ages of the apparitions, or even that we're having issues with the house. She only knew my sister attempted suicide, and I was under stress, and she wanted to make things lighter for us in that respect. She was only there for about 15 minutes when she asked us if we knew our apartment was occupied by more than us. She was drawn to the corner in the living room where we'd caught sight of the little girl that giggled and ran all over the place, not visibly. We'd only seen her once late at night. In the closet, in what was now my room, the shadow man would sometimes be. We started to think maybe there was something more than our overreactive imaginations. We decided not to do the ritual, saying she can call a friend who was better suited instead. We chose just to move instead. The most vivid and real event I had, though, was on June 10th of 12. I was driving my sister and I to New Orleans as a celebratory trip after I was accepted into the police academy. When I fell asleep at the wheel, I veered off the highway into a stand of trees just by the Mississippi and Louisiana border. My sister was asleep in the passenger seat, buckled in. We hit the first tree. We hit three total. My sister's seatbelt snapped against her but kept her in the seat, and her airbag inflated like it was supposed to. In fact, her airbag kept the inflation enough to protect her from the second tree and the third tree before the car finally stopped. That's where the safety features ended, though. Going approximately 75 miles an hour, had the cruise control on, and my airbag failed completely, never even went off. It was either the first or second tree where my seatbelt broke at the buckle as well. Should have died. But when I blacked out, I saw a super bright light, probably the black powder igniting my sister's airbag. And then I felt something grabbing me, holding me to the seat while we hit the trees. I had a broken ankle, torn rotator cuff, sprained knee, and a severe concussion to the point that my sister thought I was dead. When the smoke cleared and she got her wits about her, her door was jammed shut, so she kicked mine open to get out of the car and climbed over me. She swears I did not have a pulse, and I was slumped over the steering wheel. She began to climb the embankment to flag down a passing car to call for help, as our phones and tablets were destroyed in the wreck. I was still completely unconscious, but my sister, the trucker, and the off-duty officer that came to my sister's aid said that there was a man who pulled me from the wreck. He said that he found a pulse, wanted to get me to the road, and asked for their help. They got me up the embankment, but when they went back to asked for his name, he wouldn't tell them, and he went back into the woods. The cop thought he was out there hunting and saw the wreck. When I woke at the hospital, I had bruises on me that were in a V shape around my torso. The doctor said it looked like someone held me in that place, but maybe it was from how the seatbelt failed, but I had no logical explanations for why I was alive. The ambulance crew had no way of explaining it. The investigators in the fire department couldn't explain it. Even after they put out the fire, my airbag still had not deployed. I got asked by so many people that week how I was still alive. I decided that I had a guardian spirit I've yet to find any other reason. The last time I heard my friend speak to me was on Veterans Day, November 11th, 2016. I was at work in a call center, and in between calls, excited to go see my dad and sister. 4 hours when I got off, when I heard his voice in my mind tell me to go home. I was confused as to why it was only 3 hours, so I brushed it off. But the nagging feeling that I needed to take time off, go home early, would not leave me. But an hour or so before the end of my shift, I saw my trainer, who I hadn't seen since I got out of training 9 months before, walk up to my desk. He motioned for me to go into an aux code, but I was on call that, and that was going to take a while. Something seemed wrong with the look on his face, so I convinced the customer to let me place them on hold. I felt the feeling of comfort that I always feel wash over me when I'm in a scary or bad situation, and my trainer just released the member back into queue. I asked him why while he was shutting down my computer. He told me to get out of the secure area and talk to my old TL, who now worked with my sister in another department. So I did so. I was told that my father had a major heart attack and my family was coming to get me. For most, this would be devastating, but my dad's health was so bad that a heart attack was pretty normal, so I was surprised they were coming to get me for something so small. We knew most of the paramedics in the larger city we now lived in by first names at this point, with how often he was in and out of the hospital, and the trainer was beside me again. And I was told that my father was dead before the paramedics had even gotten to our house. I should have listened when I was told to go home. I could have been there to do CPR, or at the very least, say goodbye to him. Even if it is schizophrenia developing, which I highly doubt, my friend has never steered me wrong in my entire life, and I should have known better than to ignore him. I don't know if these are just a litany of coincidences or if maybe I acquired myself a guardian spirit as a small child drowning in a stream. Sometimes I think I'm crazy, but I research mental illness in my family. Aside from the people that lived in the main house, no offspring have had any signs of it. There's been no prior family history either. Also, my mother has no signs of anything other than a staunch belief that if a science book can't explain it, then it never happened. So I can't explain any of it in these instances either. I still see my friend when I have sleep paralysis nearly every night, and at times still feel some sense guiding me through life. But I'm wondering if maybe someone with some better knowledge than a Google search will be able to set light on that. Maybe someday I'll find more answers.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.